To turn the attention now to matters property, as we do regularly on a Monday morning, we have seen and continue to see a proliferation of what's called micro apartments that's living in really, really confined spaces. James Finney is the owner of James Finney Consulting Architect, joins me on the line now. James, good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, James. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. A bit early, but I'm good.
Thank you for waking up so early on a Monday morning. Is there a definition for what a micro apartment is in terms of measurement by any chance, James?
It varies a bit, but I mean, I think an apartment about the size of 25 meters squared, sort of 8.5 by about 3.2, is the sort of like a not a standard, but that's sort of roughly there. But I mean, it can vary. Some are even smaller, can you believe? I think they go down to as small as 8 meters, which I don't even know how you live in that. But and then they vary in size above that as well.
Because 25 square meters sounds like one room.
It is essentially. I like to think of it as a large sort of. If you're lucky enough to have lived in or stayed in a hotel, but it's like a slightly big hotel room. It's really just got a kitchen and a sofa in it as well.
And who is buying these micro apartments, James? I imagine, university students or perhaps first-time employed people coming out of university, right?
Mm. Well, that's what they seem to say. It's sort of for people who need to get their or trying to get their foot on the sort of property ladder, it's probably the cheapest thing you can get, and I believe they're not that cheap. But young professionals, and as I say, people trying to get that first foot on the property ladder. So, no.
Well, they're certainly not that cheap in Cape Town, I'll tell you that much.
No.
One or two buildings going up near where I stay in the city center, I think the cheapest room is just, I mean, I call it a room, I suppose, a micro apartment.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
over R1 million. It's like 1.2 yeah. million rand or something like that. And I'm going, wait a minute. And ultimately, I suppose you're buying the privilege of staying within the CBD, right? Because for that amount mm-hmm. of money and perhaps drive out, I don't know, 5-10 kilometers outside of the CBD, you could actually get a decently sized apartment which has multiple bedrooms as opposed to just one micro room.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big draw card is you are right in the city, I guess. And you probably don't even have to have a car. You could jump in an Uber or grab an Uber. So there is lots of benefits, but yes, it is an expensive outlay. I would hope that maybe in the future that the model could be used for sort of maybe lower income housing too, but I mean, that's a whole other topic.
Indeed. South Africa, of course, is, I suppose, following a trend, right, that we're seeing the world over. Cities like New York, London, Berlin, they're having these micro apartments just mushrooming up everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think, no, they are. I mean, London's, I particularly look at London, having sort of been a British citizen. So, yes, I mean, they really are the flavour of the month, and they sell. So I think people can't grab them quick enough. I think there was some, you mentioned Berlin, I think there was some stats about the uptake in Germany is enormous. So I think for developers, it's great. I mean, I think here, it's going to take a little while, although they're going up. So, and I'm assuming if they're going up, they must have already had some pre-sales. So it's definitely something developers will start looking at. I mean, a lot of them are talking about it. But it's a big commitment if it's new in the market and it doesn't work. But I think it will, because people need to buy properties and to get their foot on the ladder.
London, New York, Berlin, those are wonderfully first world countries that are functioning and you really just want to live and exist in that city. In Cape Town, I suppose we have that advantage that it is still very much a CBD that works and works very efficiently actually and desirable to stay in. Johannesburg, not so much. There are aspects of Joburg CBD that people want to live in. Once again, we're seeing Maboneng mushrooming up in the way that it is. Areas around Bramfontein, perhaps are seeing property developments going up, but a lot of living in Johannesburg seems to be, in places outside of the Joburg CBD. Does the concept of a micro apartment work in what is not traditionally a CBD?
that's a good question. I think why not? I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the buildings in Cape Town come with parking as well, or you can buy parking. So if the parking can be provided, there's no reason there's no reason those micro apartments couldn't exist in sort of smaller nodes. Or I mean, it would be advantageous if they were near sort of work areas, as you say, Sandton and the main hubs, I guess. But yeah, I mean, for me, there should be no reason why couldn't they work? I mean, I always think of the Japanese, who, you know, you sort of see as being very, very clever how they've used space for a living, and they've managed to do it, and they embrace that. So I just thought, why not?
Is it creatively a wonderful challenge for you as an architect to try and design a complete life, if you like, within 25 square meters?
Yes. I mean, I think I have actually, a client did approach me, but it was very conceptual. So it was a case of not getting to explore inside, that we looked at how many pods or modules of, or how many rooms we could actually fit on the site. So we got as far as that, but it would have been nice to go inside and sort of, and maybe try and come up with something that someone hasn't done before. So I mean, that's often the draw card for an architect, is to think outside the box, so to speak, and produce and do something that, oh, there's a slight little twist. I mean, you haven't got a lot to play with, but you know, people are doing something slightly different, but then that often costs money. So it depends whether they can get through the budget requirements.
For sure. You alluded to this a little bit earlier, where this could be a housing solution for our social needs, because you and I might be surprised at the fact that people can exist, I suppose, in an apartment that is 25 square meters or even less. But the reality is there are millions of South Africans who live like that on a daily basis in shacks and informal settlements, don't they?
Yes. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, I just... it's a no-brainer. It's getting the willpower and the foresight, and I think, and the boldness to actually produce some buildings. I mean, I think there is a lot of red tape in South Africa, sadly, but I think there is a big entrepreneurial spirit. So someday, I'm hoping not too far off, as these things start to happen, and ideally, again, around nodes, so there's a good infrastructure, it's a good urban design, there's a community aspect. I think all too often, housing in South Africa is, especially affordable or lower income housing, is not going to last too long, in my opinion. It's just they're put up quite shabbily, and you know, we need to sort of take great care of what we're producing and designing.
And who's at fault there, James? Is it Africa Milano, who wants a space to go up, doesn't really have the money to employ the incredible fine services of a James Finney, and therefore going the short route? Is it the municipalities who are approving these property development plans, who are not necessarily caring to make sure that the highest quality is used? Where is the shortcoming in the value chain, do you think?
I mean, the municipalities, I mean, the regulations are all in place, and you know, you can build what you need to build, but then the quality of build, I think it's possibly architects or developers signing things off and not checking the quality. I mean, there's a few stories. I mean, there is a few good projects that have been built, but I think a lot of these social housing projects, they're just rows and rows of houses, and there's very little green space. Schools are still quite distant. You know, there needs to be, I think, this architecture, it needs to come really, really good quality urban design. So I think another a good quality about South Africa is our regulations. Lots of those regulations are in place. So it's a case of just adhering to them, and I think things can be done.
What's exciting you at the moment, James, in the world of architect? What are you working on?
I am working on apartments, actually. I try to concentrate on designing nice modern houses, but at the moment, another global trend appears is converting. At the moment, I'm converting a small office building back into apartments, because the world has changed now and people working from home more. And so it's a sort of a classic COVID project, maybe.
And we're going to see that in place for quite some time, right? I think people who've seen the advantages of working primarily from home and therefore converting aspects of their home into little offices, that they will want to continue doing that even when we get a vaccine in place and the pandemic is under control.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be an interesting space, whether things turn back to normal, but things are definitely happening. I mean, big companies are definitely taking action in that regard.
Good to hear. James, once again, thank you very much for waking up so early on a Monday morning to speak to us. James Finney is the owner of James Finney Consulting Architect, reflecting on